right, DJ. So 4 years ago, we had a situation happen that was pretty scary. You walked into our youngest daughter's room. She shared it with Emma. And she was on her phone, which she didn't have service or anything, but through Wi-Fi, she could be on it. And when you asked her what she was doing, she was texting back and forth with a strange man. And I remember you calling my name, and it was very frightening.
Sure.
Because the things that he was texting were just to draw him in. And it just really, really opened us up and reminded us of the dangers that are out there for our kids with technology.
Sure.
So today, we're going to be talking about, and I don't know, how many did you say, five?
Five.
Mm-hmm. Five steps to be able to protect our children from the dangers of technology. So I'm Lori.
I'm DJ.
And this is Better Together.
Welcome to Better Together.
Better Together is a podcast that is all about marriage, family relationships, and parenting.
We take scriptural truths from God's Word and apply them to the situations that you are going through right now with your family.
Do you want to be encouraged as a parent?
Are you looking for guidance to make your marriage stronger?
We want to invite you to join us every week as we grow better together.
So Lori, we mentioned in our last episode that we have now hit 30, and actually our last episode, I think, would have put us at 31,
okay.
I believe. And we asked our audience back in April to do something for us, mm-hmm. and they stepped up and did it in an amazing way, and they left reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
And so we had about 16 people as we were just starting out on our podcast that left reviews. And we wanted to give two books to someone who filled out that review. And so we went through all the reviews, and the two books, which these are two books that have been very helpful to us, Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerich, and Love and Respect in the Family, which is sort of builds on that same concept. Very, very helpful books to us. And they're not perfect. You know, every book is going to have its flaws. It's not the Bible. But were very helpful books to us. And so EC Journey 07 left a review for us on Apple Podcast, and we will be trying to get in contact with them. If you are EC Journey 07 and you're hearing this and you've not gotten in touch with us, or we've not been able to get in touch with you, please reach out to us if you can. Shoot us an email, shoot us a private message on Facebook, however you can. We want to make sure we get these books to you so that they can be a help and a blessing to your family. In the same regard, if you would be willing to leave a review for us on Apple Podcast, that would really be a huge blessing. I mean, really, that gives some social proof to what we're doing. So if this has been a help to you, leave us a review. Go to our website, click on the link. In fact, wherever you're listening at, you probably can go to Apple Podcast, click there, leave a review, and leave a rating, and that will be a huge help for us. All right. With our older kids, we were pretty proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, Caitlin, and I don't think as much with Emma, but honestly, Emma kind of caught on from what was going on with Caitlin and Andrew. But we were very proactive with our older kids when it came to controlling the media that was in front of them, making sure that they were not, you know, on an unsecured network with their device, or that they were open to, you know, strangers contacting them. We didn't do any types of games where you had strangers that could contact or communicate. And so we were very careful with them.
And they didn't have phones with access.
Sure.
They literally had a old phone that they could get on Wi-Fi in a very limited.
And play a few little games here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's what we did.
What happened in our scenario, it caught me off guard.
Right. And Emma had grown up seeing and hearing about the dangers with Caitlin and Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest with you. I fell asleep at the wheel when it came to how this was going to affect Laurel, because she was far enough removed from Caitlin and from Andrew that we honestly hadn't communicated to her the dangers of unbridled technology and the way that we did it with our older children. And that's just a danger of parenting that you you're very intentional with the older kids, and often the younger kids can be brought along as they see the example in the family, but you also have to communicate things clearly mm-hmm. to them. And I didn't communicate it. So Emma or Laurel is there in the bedroom. She's got a hand-me-down iPhone that is on Wi-Fi network, and she's either reading books or she's on her phone, on the playing games or doing whatever. But we noticed that she was not in the living room at all. And it'd been the whole evening. She had not been in the living room. So I walked in. And as soon as I walked in, she turned her phone off and put it down. And like, there was this immediate hiding. So, and we're going to get to this principle in a little bit. We have transparency when it comes to our technology at home. My wife knows the password to my phone. I know the password to hers. So we at any time can look at what we are doing. But with our children, it was the same way. So I asked Laurel if I could look at her phone. Now please understand, this was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Laurel would have been in sixth grade.
She'd been what, 11?
11 years old. Completely innocent. Laurel had done nothing wrong. And we did not treat this as a discipline issue because Laurel had done nothing wrong. Though she knew that what she was doing was not right, she was innocent in the process in that somehow some man randomly, mm-hmm. and it was random, texted her number. She took the bait. She texted back and they were having this conversation. Now, thankfully, at that point, he had not said anything that was inappropriate. She had not revealed anything that was inappropriate. And it was possible for us to cut things off right there, and nothing advanced any further. There was no need for any type of law enforcement because nothing had happened that would have been illegal. Okay. However, I was physically ill that night.
Oh, yes. Both of us were.
That?
Yes.
Like when I realized how close we were to a situation where one of our daughters, one of our children, was completely overwhelmed by the conversation of a stranger and as a result would be drawn into this hypersexualized society. So very, very overwhelming thing as a parent. It has helped us to be much more attentive mm-hmm. to the things that our children are doing in using technology. I think the common conduit is technology.
Yeah.
And so we've become much more attentive to that with our younger, with Laurel specifically. And we've always been attentive to that with our children. In fact, there are about four or five common apps that children are using today that are very dangerous. And we're going to go through a couple of them. Okay.
That's funny. I'm looking at this list and I don't even know what the last three are on this list.
Okay. So five common apps. Then we're going to get to five ways that you can protect your kids. So I would encourage you, parents, if your children are using these apps, it is a known fact. Law enforcement has openly stated that child predators are using these apps in order to connect with children. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking about child predators, but we're talking about bullies in school, kids who have ulterior motives, kids who don't love your children but hate them and want to see them hurting, kids that want to draw them into a lifestyle, the mm-hmm. LGBTQ lifestyle. So whatever you're trying to protect your kids from, these are some apps that appear to be innocent but can be very dangerous. All right, number one, and we're going to tell you, again, it's just technology. But man, technology is a tool that can be used for very dangerous things. And each of these have at least one area or one problem that I think makes them very dangerous. The first one is Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Snapchat, in my opinion, is very dangerous because of the feature of pictures being taken and then they disappear.
Yep.
Why is that dangerous?
Because you can take pictures that you shouldn't be taking and send them knowing that they're going to be gone within a few minutes and nobody can ever find it.
So that's what the kids think. The problem is,
they're there. Nothing is taken and goes away.
Nothing ever disappears. Because if I see a picture that another person has sent me that's inappropriate, on an Apple phone, it's super simple.
Yep.
You download the picture, take a screenshot, and it's permanent. So it lures kids into thinking that there is a temporary nature to, mm-hmm. to sin. I can take pictures of inappropriate things, and this is what kids are using this for, this reason, this disappearing feature that it's gone. No one's ever going to see it. I'm never going to be accountable for this. Snapchat has also come up with what's called Snap Map, where it uses your GPS and it shows the exact location. So that means you take a picture, and anyone who has that on their app, that feature allowed, can see where you are.
Oh, wow.
And for children, this is exceptionally dangerous. Now, most of these apps are going to say they're only for people 17 years or older. But on most of these devices, all you have to do is enter an email, say I'm over 17, and you're in.
Yeah, because I have a daughter that's not 17. She's 15, mm-hmm. and she has a lot of friends on it. So yeah. if it's that, then mm-hmm. obviously you say you're older than sure. you are.
Now, the second one is one that you're going to say, oh, Pastor Harry, this is innocent. It's Instagram. And I know Instagram, I have Instagram, okay?
I do not.
Yeah. Caitlin does, though.
Okay.
And I post pictures of our dog. I post pictures from our podcast. I post pictures from when we go on hikes and on walks. Mm-hmm. And I have about 150 to 200 people that we know that follow me on Instagram. And when I post pictures of pottery, okay?
You don't have very many followers.
I don't have many followers, no, okay? However, Instagram is a visual platform.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, our world is run on visual pornography. I mean, it is absolutely the tool, the bait that Satan is using to draw young boys and young girls in. And so on a visual platform, it's very easy to search. And when you search, you're going to get any type of image. Again, it's like giving your children internet access to search for any image on their computer. But you say, no, they can't do that on their computer. You're giving it to them on their phone. Because on Instagram, any type of image is going to be available to them.
Yep. I was just going to say, what brought on for us doing this particular topic right now, I've actually had two people contact me recently that have found out that their children have been involved in pornography, mm-hmm. and wanting help and how to help their children. And I was telling both of these parents, when we were younger, because they're our age, the only way to get a hold of pornography was through adult stores. So mm-hmm. it was actually very difficult.
Sure.
But in today's society, it's not. It mm-hmm. is right there at your fingertips, and innocently you can get sucked into something. And just a quick story, years ago when Caitlin, who is now 23, was maybe 4 years old, we were at my parents' house. Mm, and I think we talked about this yeah. on one other episode, but she was wanting, when she would go to my mom's house, she mm-hmm. would get on the computer with my mom,
yep.
and they would go and...
Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah, uh-huh. only they would go to PBS Kids.
Right.
And then through that, she could go to Clifford the Big Red Dog. Uh-huh. Well, I didn't know that. She just said, Mom, can I go do the Clifford the Big Red Dog game? So I was like, sure. So I went back with her, sat down, typed in cliffordthebigreddog.com. Don't do that. And would you know, that is a porn site.
Went to a porn site, yeah.
I clicked on it and immediately I screamed and I covered her hands and, you know, when that, or her eyes. And when that happens, it's like your hands can't work and you can't get anything to, I couldn't click on anything. I couldn't do anything. I was so taken back.
Sure.
Because I realized how so many kids have 100% access to computers, and how if Caitlin had sat down innocently and typed in cliffordthebigreddog.com, although she probably would have gone to PBS Kids mm-hmm. if I had let her do it, because she didn't know what to do. But how easily
sure.
kids can get sucked in. And parents, technology, it's just right at their fingertips, mm-hmm. right at their fingertips, and it's our job to protect them.
Last year, an organization called BARC did a study, and they found that 90% of all teens today have been exposed to nudity or sexual content online.
Wow.
90%.
Wow.
And so the 10% that haven't are probably the 10% that don't have phones. Okay.
Yep.
The 10% that don't.
Now, make sure we talk about these three because I don't even know what they are. So parents Snapchat, may not know Instagram, what they are.
The third one is Discord, which Discord is a online sort of chat network where kids, when they're playing games, when they're they can communicate together. And here's the problem with that. It is completely open to all forms of bullying, anger, cursing, and swearing. There's no filter on what's there. Discord was found in BARC's 2021 annual
just
report.
Just the name.
That Discord was one of the top five platforms for bullying, suicidal thoughts, body image, and more. So it is a platform where people, kids specifically in this situation, are free to express their minds. And that's a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. Number four, the fourth app is Yik Yak. Yik Yak is an anonymous chatting app that lets users within a 5-mile radius read publicly posted messages. And it is anonymous.
Oh,
it's anonymous. Now, it's anonymous in that when you set up your account, your screen name isn't shown, but that doesn't mean you can't share it with someone. You can't share your name. No handles, no usernames, no real names, no photos. It's rated as 17 plus, but once it's downloaded, it states that it's only 13 plus. There's no age verification. And as long as you're within 5 miles, anybody that's on that app, you can say whatever you want and they hear it. Imagine if you had a bunch of 5th graders, 7th graders, 10th graders, and you allowed them to say whatever they want about their classmates without having to be accountable for it.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how quickly that conversation would degrade into garbage. Mm-hmm. Give that to adults and the same thing would happen. So terrible app to let your kids be on. Number five, and this one is absolutely scary, okay? Omegle. I've seen this before. I've only been on it once, and it was when I was typing this in, doing the notes for this yesterday, and then we're gonna get on in a second because I want you to see how scary this is.
Wow.
You go to omegle.com, parents, and you don't have to log in. You don't have to register. You simply click talk to a stranger, and it uses your camera on one side, and from somewhere around the world, someone else is on Omegle. It pulls them up and you're right there face to face and you're talking.
Mm.
Their catchphrase, their catch line on Omegle is talk to strangers.
So you know what kind of strangers are sitting there waiting for kids.
Wow.
Yes.
And there's no control over what's going to be said, or you're paired with a complete stranger. That is dangerous. Now, and please understand, your child in their bedroom with a laptop in 5 seconds can be on Omegle and exposed to nudity just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exposed to a child predator, someone who is in the process of grooming children. I mean, it's incredible how easy it is. So here are five ways to protect your kids from the dangers of technology. All right. Number one, and these are some things that we did in our house. Number one, technology was a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It was not part of our daily life. Now, obviously, we use technology. We're recording this using technology. We have my MacBook here. We've got our microphones. We're not against technology. But technology isn't the goal of life.
Right.
Technology isn't what we exist for. Technology is a tool. And for our children, it was a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
When our kids turned 5 years old, did they automatically get any technology? When
no.
they turned 10?
No.
When they turned... No. We recognize for our kids, and our kids learn this, that having technology and using technology was a privilege, and they didn't get it until they needed it. So right now, we have a daughter that's going to be married in a couple of weeks. And at this point, when we put this episode out, it'll be next week, if I'm doing the math right. Anyway, so a daughter that's going to be married. We have a son that's going to be a junior next year in college.
Mm-hmm.
We have a third daughter that's going to be a freshman at college.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Laurel.
Who will be a junior in high school.
Laurel is just starting her first job at Chick-fil-A in
next
a week.
Next week.
Up and Laurel's not driving on her own.
Nope.
Laurel has not had a need to have a phone. So how old is Laurel?
She's 15.
Our 15-year-old Laurel does not have a phone.
Nope.
None of our kids had phones, like we're talking active phones, until they were driving on their own.
Yes. Now, we are going to make an exception for her because she's going to work as a 15-year-old.
She's going to be at work on her own.
And
that's
so
the thing.
Since yes. she will be 30 minutes away, she will have one. We also did something different for her that we haven't done for the others. We allowed her at Christmas, she got an iPad. Mm-hmm. Specifically for two purposes. Purpose number one is to download sheet music because she does piano lessons through Zoom with her older mm-hmm. sister. Number two, so she had a way to communicate with her siblings. She's going to be only one left here at home mm-hmm. next year. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted her to have a way, other than coming and taking my phone all the time, mm-hmm. to be able to communicate with her siblings,
her sister,
when they're
and
away
Andrew.
At college. Yeah. Yeah. So she can text through her iPad. The funny thing is, we do have two girls that have Facebook and they still are under my account.
Use your Facebook.
They use my account. I've told Emma, and I'm like, Emma, you can get your own account. She's like, all of your friends are my friends. I'm like, no. When you go off to college, you are getting your own account. I don't want all your college friends. And she never adds friends. But so we have, and each child is different. You have to know the children. And we've done things a little bit differently for Laurel. Mm-hmm. And no one's bucked the system on us and said, well, we didn't get.
Yeah.
But because we want her to be able to, as the only one left at home, to talk with her children. With her siblings.
So how could we hold our kids off? I'm putting that in air quotes. How could we hold our kids off until they were 15 or 16 to get a phone and them not become angry that we weren't giving them a phone? Why was that?
I don't know. I mean, we didn't make a big deal out of it, for one.
We didn't make a big deal about what?
We don't make a big deal about technology, period, in our house. And
it's not that we don't use technology. It's just for our children, were they year after year consumed with the new technology?
Nah.
No. Like, we didn't allow that. We didn't get our kids an iPad. Our kids did not have iPads until they were in high school. Laurel's the youngest one with an iPad, but it's for piano. Like, our kids didn't have an iPad when they were in first grade. And then
I don't know. They haven't had anything. We just got our first gaming system, a year ago at Christmas? Andrew finally convinced us. And what is that he has over there? I don't know. An Xbox. And you know when it gets used? When Andrew's home.
Yeah.
Nobody else plays on it. So technology, our life is not based on that. Our life has been based on each other.
And so because of that, our kids did not expect it until it was necessary. Mm-hmm. So don't make technology a necessity for your family. Let it be a privilege. Mm-hmm. All right. Number two, the second way to protect your kids from the dangers of technology, number two, is understand the importance of content filters. Content filters. Now, and when I say content filters, I'm looking two different directions when it comes to filters. Number one, you as a parent being a source of filter, as a filter, making sure that the things that you are allowing your kids to have on their phone is appropriate.
Sure.
So parents becoming a filter. Mm-hmm. And then number two, actually installing or having appropriate filters that allow you to see when certain things are being used or certain things are being done. We did this. We didn't do this with Caitlin because Caitlin honestly didn't have a phone until she was 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she wasn't working. She didn't have her driver's license. It just wasn't a necessity. Although she did have a phone that was the house phone that she could take and use for stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of the house cell phone that she used. Andrew got his phone, and his was the first one that I actually began using a filtering technology on, and it was something that I paid for, and it also gave me constant updates on things that were being done on his phone. And that was helpful to train him early on. Anytime something was being searched that was dangerous, and again, it's not that Andrew was searching for that, but they are very careful on if words could be that way.
Right.
So anytime there was anything questionable, I got an email or I got a text, and it allowed me to have a communication, a conversation with Andrew.
Off the top of your head, know what that was?
I don't. But okay. What we'll do is in the show notes for this episode, I'll list maybe three or four highly encouraged people that have good recommendations on filters that can be used for technology. And you can use these for your phones as well. So that's really what we're talking about is filters.
Another filter, though, that we used was we regulated the amount of time that our kids spent, even once they were older. I mean, I even had this conversation the other day with Laurel because Laurel is an avid reader, but I noticed since she had gotten her iPad at Christmas that she had not been reading books.
Yeah.
Because she was spending more times on Pinterest, and she loves to watch cooking videos. She loves to watch hair style videos and that kind of stuff. So I just encouraged her, and we had that conversation about limiting the amount of time. Though she wasn't doing anything wrong, there were other things that she could be doing. So content filters, those are specifically on the technology that you can be filtering what they can and can't watch, but then also just filtering the amount of time that you're allowing them to sit there and be.
And that goes right into number three. We did not allow private technology, meaning there was no privacy. We were transparent. And we even do that to this point today. And this is not just with our kids. Like, my technology is not private. It's between us. It's it's transparent. It's open.
It's just accountability.
Right now, if Lori were to click on, which our phone is being used to video this, but right now, if Lori were to, she knows the password to my phone. There's nothing on there that's hidden. She has access to, we honored our children's privacy, but we also recognized that they needed to know that there was accountability for what they were using their device for.
Sure.
There was once where, in fact, I can probably say a total of two or three times where I have asked one of our children to show me their phone. I wanted to see what they were doing. And I think it's been once with Andrew, once with Caitlin, once with Laurel. And the once with Caitlin was the first time. And it was a young man in our school that was texting her. And
this was on that house phone?
Yeah, this was on the house phone.
She was like eighth grade. Yeah, he was seventh grade.
Many moons ago. But we knew we could just sense something wasn't right. So we asked to see the phone. We pulled up the text while she was there, and we were able to, we allowed her to give context to what was being saying, what was being said. I did not jump to conclusions, but it allowed us to see the conversation that was happening. And it did allow us to avoid, we use that as a teaching opportunity, and it allowed her to avoid a circumstance that would have been very painful. It would have been very difficult for her. We do respect our children's privacy, but we also understand that our children are living in our home. And so as parents, what they are doing when they're in their bedrooms, what they're doing when they're on their devices, what they're doing when they're downstairs in the basement on the TV, that those are things that matter to us. And so our kids know that there's nothing that's private when it comes to our technology in the house.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, number four.
Which three and four kind of go together.
Sure.
Because if you do four, then it helps with number three.
And what's number four?
Number four is we didn't allow isolation.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't that they weren't ever allowed to be in their bedroom, but until it was time to go to bed, they didn't go in their bedroom and shut their door and just have full access. They didn't have TVs in their room. Matter of fact, until recently, we were a one TV house. It was up in the living room, and poor Andrew has watched his fair share of Hallmark videos. One day his wife's going to love them because he will sit down and watch those with you. However, we do have two because we now have another living room, and but we never allowed them to just go in their room and shut their door and be on technology.
Yeah, especially not shutting their door.
Like, yeah.
If you're going to be in your room, that's fine, but we're not going to go in a room, shut the door, and just be on our phones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I remember the one time that we've started, the one area we've started to making an exception just last year when we switched to YouTube TV.
Yeah.
And there would be times when a basketball game was on and Andrew would ask, can I please watch a basketball game? So we'd let him go and watch a basketball game on his phone.
Yeah. And that was before we had the second TV.
Right. But again, even Andrew understood, I'm not just going to go on the front porch and just watch TV.
Right.
Like, there's an intention. Like, this is what I'm going to doing. Is this okay? So we didn't allow for isolation. We lived as a family. We interacted as a family. We didn't isolate ourselves. And that really helped a lot of the, I think, protected our kids from a lot of the temptations that come.
Sure. And it allows us, our life is not based on being on our phones and on our technology all the time. Mm-hmm. We enjoy being with each other. And so then my kids know how to have relationships with people.
So the fifth way to protect your kids then would be, for us, was having intentional conversations with our children.
Mm-hmm.
If your children aren't prepared for the time when they turn on their technology, and you can say, well, then I'll just never let them have technology. Well, at some point they're going to have a phone. Like, it's going to happen. So you better prepare them.
Yep.
And if you don't prepare them, If you say, well, if they don't have a phone, I don't have to prepare them, then all you're doing is pushing the pain farther away.
Right.
Like, at some point, your 18, 19, 20-year-old son is going to have a phone for the first time, and he's going to be exposed to the temptation for pornography. So you have to have intentional conversations with your children.
Yes.
Stay connected with your kids. Be aware and in tune of the possible issues. With Caitlin, that earliest situation, it's because we were aware of something that was going on that allowed us to be in tune with the situation that caused us to step in and say, can we please see the conversation that's happening? But we could have been out of tune with it. We could have just let her close her door. We never talk about anything with her about relationships, and we would have missed it.
Yep.
And she could have gotten really hurt.
Yep.
So always be in tune. Have intentional conversations with your children.
And along that line, be aware of any changes that...
that's a good one.
Yeah. Any changes that you might see in your child. If a child all of a sudden starts pulling away, wasn't that way, and you can see over time they're spending more time in their room, or they're...
Go ahead. Go.
Or they're pulling away from being around you. That's a big red flag that there might be something going on.
And so parents, when you see that happening, don't just say, well, they're just going through a phase.
No.
And don't step back. And here's what I see often happening. Parents will see their child disconnecting. They will correctly identify the source of the disconnection. And then they will allow that to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If sports, if a coach, if a friend, if a boyfriend or girlfriend, if a neighborhood friend, if spending time with this friend group at school, if listening to music or being attached to your technology, if a child is always on their phone, any of those things... If you see your child beginning to change, work hard to identify what's the core of that, and then you have to change it. Like, you have to undo that. Because if you don't change it back, if you don't go back, then you're never going to get that relationship back with your child. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to get worse because they're going to now develop, it's going to begin changing their worldview, change it. I mean, boy, I tell you what. The number of stories we have as a youth pastor, when we were I was a youth pastor for 10 years. We worked with, I don't know, we had 75 kids in our youth group, probably 15 seniors every year, 10 to 15 seniors.
Sure. Yeah.
So over the course of 10 years, we would have had 150 that graduated plus the 75 that were there. So 250 to 300 different kids in the church, plus a school that was running around 350 to 400 at the time.
That we were both actively involved in.
And I can tell you multiple stories of kids that got connected with other kids, either in the school or outside the school. They began to change. Mom and dad saw it and refused to deal with it. And they lost their kids.
Yep.
They lost their kids. Right now, I could go on Instagram, Facebook, and I could pull up 10 to 15 kids whose lives are absolutely in the gutters of life. They are absolutely ruined for the Lord because of friendships that they had and mom and dad didn't deal with it. So intentional conversations is more than just talking about what could happen. It's talking about things and dealing with them when they do happen. You have to be intentional with that.
Yep.
All right. So let's summarize. Going to put my glasses back on. Five ways to protect your kids. Number one, technology is a privilege. Number two, use filters. Number three, no private technology. Number four, we didn't allow isolation. Number five, have intentional conversations. Laura, you want to add anything as we close?
Nope. I think we got it.
All right. Until next time, our prayer is that God will use His word to help you, your marriage, and your family grow better together.